out in the downtown. I guess
they said a business district.
Well,
it could be that's the downtown business district.
Well, you know, they have these signs.
I had not passed the first sign yet. But now that I failed to appear, I believe a judgment will have been entered against me anyway, so I'll never get to defend myself.
You actually do. You simply, however, face the threat of being spending a night or two, if it's the weekend.
That's OR. It's own recognizance. They're not going to.
Possibly.
They call for bicycling?
I doubt it.
I mean, you know. But I would probably refuse. You see, I signed here on my ticket.
Get up, Jimmy Newman, the morning is come. The engines are rumbling, the coffee's all through. Get up, Jimmy Newman, the work to be done. The white daylight is still sleeping. There's a waiting line forming to use a latrine. And the sun is just opening the skies. The breakfast they're serving just has to be seen. And you've only to open your eyes. Get up, Jimmy Newman, my radio's on. The news is all bad, but it's good for a laugh. The tent flap is loose, and the peg must be gone. Why do you lie there still sleeping? The night nurse is gone, and the sexy one's here. And she tells us such beautiful lies. Her uniform's tied on her marvelous rear. And you all it all in your eyes. Get up, Jimmy Newman. You're missing the fun. They're loading the planes. Jimmy, it's time to go home. It's over for us. There's no more to be done. Now why do you lie there still sleeping? It's stateside for us, Jim. The folks may not know. We'll let it be such a surprise. They're loading us next, Jim. We're ready to go. And you've all laid off in your eyes. Get up, Jimmy Newman. They won't take my word. I said you sleep hard, but they're shaking their heads. Get up, Jimmy Newman, and show them you're hurt. Ah, Jimmy, just show them you're sleeping. A joke is a joke, but there's nothing to gain. Jim, I'd slap you, but I'm too weak to rise. Get up, damn it, Jimmy, you're missing the plane. And you've all laid off in your eyes. You've all laid off in your eyes. My God, Jimmy, open your eyes.
Hey, Consuelo, who lives in her vehicle. Hi, Consuelo.
Hi, how are we today?
Good. How are we today?
I'm great.
Good. So you're a person who's been living in your vehicle for how long?
About a year.
And how are the police and local authorities treating you?
Well, here, the only innocent that I had is when, where I worked at, I parked my RV up the street because I needed to get it insured before I moved it around.
Mm-hmm.
And my supervisor dropped a dime on me. She called up the sheriff and told him that I was, you know, and they came out there knocking on the door at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I just got off work at 6 o'clock, and I laid down to take a nap until 12. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, I didn't get their names.
Right.
But anyways, they told me, you can't sleep in here on the street. I says, did you sleep in here last night? I says, I work from 10 at night until 6 in the morning. No, I did not sleep in here. Well, you can't be sleeping in here, you know. And I know the law. I can sleep anywhere as I want in daytime.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a counselor.
Uh-huh. And you find it disadvantageous to live in your vehicle and be a counselor? Is it a difficult job to keep on doing when you're in that situation?
To live in my vehicle? No, that's my home.
So
I'm not going to pay all this $912 and $1,400 for these parasites to, you know, to feed them and, you know, pay for their houses and their rental property.
Right. I can dig it.
That's too much money. And, you know, I don't get paid that much. And my whole damn paycheck has to go for somebody, you know.
You want to come to city council tomorrow night and tell them about this?
Yeah. I don't have to work tomorrow night.
Hey, cool. Seven. Come on.
Up there, sitting up there with your eyes popped open with some toothpicks.
There you go. Toothpick. It's called Toothpick City. That's what we call it, Santa Cruz. You know, you pop those toothpicks up. It's really an attempt to help you to avoid sleeping because sleeping isn't good for you. You see, they realize this.
Well, I tell you, these people are very vicious in this town. And the police are just like control freaks or something like that. You know, they Big Brother's watching. We're out here to control. And, you know, they're so busy beating the bushes to see what comes out besides the rats, the possums, and the raccoons. You know what I mean? That's what they're being paid for. And you got so much crime in the street. You got these drug addicts running around, whipping people off and you know, breaking in their vehicles and things. And they're so busy beating the bushes.
Mm-hmm. Do you know people have gotten sleeping tickets in the last couple of weeks, like for sleeping or for camping outside?
Yeah, I think so. I think I don't know their names, but yeah.
Because they should, you should encourage them to come to City Council tomorrow night and talk to the City Council about that. Because tomorrow night there is actually a chance of changing the policy. Not the law yet, but the policy
around
sleeping. Yeah,
because see, that's my home. That's not a vehicle. I am not homeless. I am vehicle housed.
Right.
That is a house in there. It has a stove, refrigerator, bathroom, and everything. Yeah. So that is not, you know, that is a home. That is my home.
Right. I can dig it. Now I got to get them to dig it, right?
And my people were here before these Europeans came here anyway, and I can't buy nothing because they done got everything jacked up. They done took the land and took everything. How the hell am I going to buy $200,000-$400,000 for a 2x4?
You're going to come and tell City Council this tomorrow night, right?
Oh, I don't mind that.
Dig it.
Dennis Ream.
And Dennis, you say you've got a ticket?
I have a camping ticket for sleeping in my camper and my pickup truck.
Uh-huh. I know you're on crutches. What's the difficulty?
I have a sprained ankle.
Uh-huh. Were you in this condition when you got the ticket? Or?
No, I wasn't.
Well, tell me about the ticket. What happened?
8 o'clock in the morning.
Was that a place to be?
Eight o'clock in the morning, police officer comes banging so hard on my camper I thought he was going to dent it, otherwise I wouldn't have answered it.
Uh-huh.
And
what was the date on this again?
I think it was September 14th. I think that was the date. And
2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah. And I'm going to court on it now. I went last week. And the officer says, you were sleeping in there. And this is 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, I was not sleeping. I said, did you see me sleeping? He said, no. He says, I heard you snoring. And I said, how could I be snoring if I wasn't sleeping? And then I said, you probably say that to everybody, you can't see sleeping. I said, you have no evidence in here I was sleeping. I said, I'm in this camper, it's 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I have a right to be in the camper, I own the truck and the camper.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, well, I'm writing you a ticket. And he says, yeah, give me some IDs. So I gave him my driver's license, he wrote me a ticket.
Name of the officer was?
Essegian, E-S-S-E-G-I-A-N.
Uh-huh. He was a California Highway Patrol police officer.
Santa Cruz police officer.
You know his badge number?
No, I don't have it.
Okay. You haven't been to court yet on the ticket?
I've only been to court so far as to plead not guilty. I haven't had, my court date is January 5th.
Okay, if you're interested, get in touch with us. I think Becky gave you some literature.
Uh-huh.
And call me up, we'll talk about possible defenses. And also, if you can, come to City Council tomorrow night and tell them what happened.
I'll definitely come tomorrow night and we'll get in touch with you.
You know how to get to City Hall? You're not pissing the bushes.
Yeah.
You're not trying to make a mess.
No, I own this camper so I can stay in it when I need to. I'm not choosing this as a lifestyle. I just happen to be in the camper.
Mm-hmm.
And the camper's fully self-contained with a toilet and everything else, cooking facilities and a refrigerator. And I'm not out there pissing in the bushes, making a mess. And I feel like I have the right to be in my vehicle, especially at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And so.
I mean, I would say so. Now let's see what the council says. You tell them.
Yeah, there's no reason for this. There's my bottom line, you know, I've paid my dues. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I got 5 years of college. You know, I've paid my taxes, and I've got no arrest and no tickets. You know, I live clean.
Now you're a sleep criminal.
And now I'm a sleep criminal, and I have something on my record.
Okay, we're going to see what we can do about that. Set up?
Yeah, I think we've been set up because they enforce this law discriminatorily. They don't write tickets to all these people who are tourists in the 40-foot motorhomes who have tourist money to spend. But as soon as the tourists are gone, then they find us, who they've noted, in who they've let sleep in the campers during the time that these 40-foot motorhomes are here, and then they single us out discriminatorily to ticket us.
Right. Well, we have to change this shit. And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. These are the closing minutes of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. I'm the Robe, Uncle Robert Norris, at 427-3772. Give me a call if you want to comment on anything you've heard or have your own experiences to share. If you want to get in touch with me off-air, the number is easy to remember, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. HUFF is an acronym for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And the next meeting of HUFF, for those who want to attend, is Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning at 706 Frederick Street. If you're interested, come on by 706 Frederick Street, 11 a.m.
for the next meeting of HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. You've been listening to interviews. The day before the last city council meeting, this was December 7th, was the date of the interviews. December 8th was the last city council meeting. We had hoped to get the city council to hold special sessions to deal with the kinds of abuses that you're hearing people talk about. Police hassling innocent, hardworking, tax-paying American citizens who are poor and live in their vehicles or live outside. Unfortunately, we couldn't persuade the council to do that. And what we're doing now is we are compiling, trying to get a hotline together to compile figures on what the police are doing now that the city council has told the police to cool it, but hasn't yet apparently got the intestinal fortitude or intellectual clarity, that's both the police and the city council, but the city council is what I'm really talking about, to change the law so the police have to cool it. Instead, what we're doing is we kind of agreed to set up a hotline, or actually a 24-hour message line, and Community Action Board Director Paul Brindell has agreed to arrange this, I think, through the Homeless Service Center, through the phone lines there. A lot of folks get lines at 457-9754 with an extension number. Until that extension number is set up, however, which should be by Monday, do give a call if you're hassled by police or if you know of anybody who's been given a ticket or just threatened with a ticket and forced to move for sleeping or covering up with blankets to 423-HUF, 423-4833. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Robert.
Yes.
This is probably the best radio I've heard in a long, long time.
Well, thank you.
The stuff that you have on the air today is so classic and so good. I wish the council would just take a minute to listen to the show and listen to the people that are talking on the radio, and they can get a grasp of what's going on.
Oh, it's so kind of you to say, though. I have to agree. Thank you.
It's that clear. I mean, it's not just you. I mean, they may not like you because you're always there in their face. But it's people that you're recording out there in the street that can bring this reality home to them in their little building when they have a session going on. And unfortunately, I know they're biased, but I just hope more people who live in Santa Cruz are listening to their local radio show to make them realize what's going on.
Wow. I'm really pleased to hear you say that, both because it makes me feel it's worth going out there and getting these recordings.
Oh, dude, it's a lot of work, and you're doing such a great job. I mean, I've been listening to your show today for about an hour and a half now, and it's been totally spectacular on the whole camping issue in itself.
Wow, thank you very much.
I am totally overwhelmed by the program that you're putting on. I mean, this is great programming. I mean, it seems like it's very professional done, and this is Radio Free Santa Cruz.
It is.
You know, that's really good. It's really good. I mean, I hope more people are listening. Just listening to the other people besides yourself is very sobering, you know, what's going on. You know, I know that they passed this camping law ban, but everybody's patting them on themselves on the back, and it's all a bunch of bullshit.
Unfortunately, they have not just a long way to go, but we have yet to be sure that they're going anywhere at all. That's my concern.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that have been putting this idea, they've been trying to make changes. I congratulate them on that, too, but they're being a little bit blinded about their political actions. It's not really doing much on the streets in actuality. And what we need to do right now for the people facing the winter months. And you're so on top and on what's going on, exactly what we need to do now.
And of course,
and these people are not looking at that. They're looking at, oh, in the future, we're going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not reality.
Or at least they if they are concerned, they seem too timid to take other than the most hesitant steps, you know. By the way, caller, I think I recognize your voice. You are...
you know who I am.
You're
don't
a man,
tell everybody.
A man named after a bird, let's put it that way. If you can, call the HUF line and leave a number where you can be reached. I've lost your number. I need to reach you.
Yeah, I need to talk to you about some things, too. But yeah, excellent programming.
Thank you very much.
I am really impressed, and I hope more people are listening. You know, I'm going to make my calls to the council members, but we all know, I mean, you know, that's another thing, too. When you're calling him in, they're supposed to be making a record of this. You know, what's really going on with
right. When you call in to 429-3550 and then the pound key, please not only say
is there any way
again,
for people...
But also ask them to leave, to make a tally of those of you listeners who are going to call in.
Is there any way for us to check this thing? I mean, I know it is the council member's whim and will that this is happening,
well,
but is there any way that we're... that we can check on if they're actually keeping a tally?
No, the best thing to do is to go
is
into
that
city...
public record?
You can go to city council, leave your name for a city council member, ask to set up an appointment with a council member,
uh-huh.
And not only, you know, say, I want you damn well to make sure that these figures are made public every week, but also say, I want to tell you about people I know who are living outside and why they need relief tomorrow and tonight, not next year or sometime.
I would love you to send at least a tape portion of this programming tonight to at least every one of them and say, look, maybe you might not like me, maybe you do. Just listen. Think I'm not there and just listen to the people on the street. You know, I mean, even those kids that didn't seem very well educated, they had something really important to say that seemed very educated to me.
You're right.
You know,
I appreciate that caller. I'm gonna cut you off because I've got only about 7 minutes left, but I appreciate that these fine, kind words.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you. And a couple of quick announcements here before we get ousted by upcoming Uncle Dennis, who's got a great show all his own. Have your pencil and paper ready for his Earth First show, which should be coming on at 8 o'clock. On December 22nd on Club Cruise is going to be a replay of the case, the infamous case of classic local injustice, Miguel Gutierrez, reamed big time by Judge Robert Artichoke Hart Attic, a Municipal Court Superior Judge. That show will be 7 to 7.30 on Club Cruise on December 22nd. The Alliance for Democracy is hosting a film on December 20th at 4 p.m. at 104 South Parkway near Arena Gulch. Search me what that film is, but my producer somehow thought it was worth noting. If you want any information about this Alliance for Democracy film on the 20th, give a call to Nick at 475-2012. I remind you that December 21st is National Homeless Day, and across the nation there are different kinds of protests. You heard David Silva, Dead on David as I call him, talking about the potential shit-in, as we put it. That was the kind of very grim a protest against there being a failure to have 24-hour bathrooms here in Santa Cruz. I'm not quite clear what form this kind of protest would take and how off-color it would be, but... who knows? Maybe there's actually going to be some action. As I said, I heard secondhand that at least porta-potties are being considered to be put in downtown on a 24-hour basis. This would be a revolutionary step, little as it sounds like it is. It would be a revolutionary step in considering, again, that they're acknowledging the existence of human beings living outside, sleeping outside, up in the wee hours of the night, and even at other times during the day, who need access to bathrooms, and not having bathrooms at the moment because they're still too cheap to put those bathrooms in, though they don't mind $2 and $3 million overruns on the parking garages, it's a small step. I remind folks, if you're interested in getting in meeting up with HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, you can give us a call at 423-HUF or come to our 11 a.m. meeting on Saturday morning at 706 Frederick Street. I want to apologize to the bubble lady who I interviewed at the town clock last night. She was distributing bubbles throughout the farmer's market in her usual fashion, spurning any potential tickets by the police. You may remember reading about her in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, and more recently, I think she was interviewed as one of the man-on-the-street interviews in the Sentinel, woman-on-the-street in this case. She had a lot of good things to say, and that tape is completely garbled. I'm going to have to do that again, so if you're listening in there, Karen, call again to 423-HUF, and we will arrange a new interview time. January 5th, you may remember, is the trial for Dennis, the man on crutches in the van who was ticketed last September and is fighting that ticket in court. Looks like we're about to hit the road. I'm going to kind of give you a taste of the Crone subcommittee, which actually wasn't a subcommittee at all, but was a meeting between Councilmember Chris Crone and the rest of us which he insisted not be recorded, or at least his voice not be recorded. I found that to be deplorable. I told him so. I thought it was a mistake because I think it should be public record. And so here's a section of that tape, which we don't play his voice because we promised we wouldn't. We play the voice of rough-tongued Roxanne, as I call her, Roxana Kistapache, who was at that meeting, who had some strong things to say to Councilmember Chris Crown.
I don't care. 30 in Santa Cruz in a way thinks because there's this small group of very underprivileged, freezing to death people. This morning, 157 people died in the last 12 months in San Francisco. Last year it was 100. 4 months ago it was 100. It's now jumped to 157 with the weather being the way it's been. And I think that it's our obligation, just as human beings, as people, and as people in government with some sway, to protect the people who are the most weak or the most disenfranchised. That's the kind of work I've done all my life, either with seniors or whatever. That's where I come from. So I'm just saying that even if you're meeting with people who, because of property reasons or whatever, say, I don't want this to happen, you know we're not for people sleeping on the mall in front of stores. That's not what this is about. But this is definitely about civil rights. It's not just about being homeless. It is about civil rights.
Right.
So that's all I want to say to you, is that if you think I'm jumping on you because of a few letters or whatever, this is not an equal thing. If you and the other council members are thinking you're going to decide this because 60% are against and 40 are for, that's not quite fair, because 80% are more privileged. 80% are more privileged than the people that we're trying to help. And obviously, they're not cold, their children aren't dying of pneumonia. I know someone whose one of her twins, died from the cold, who was homeless in Colorado, and got pneumonia, and before they could get hitch, because they were homeless and had nothing, from where their teepee was that they were trying to make it in, down to the doctors, the twin died in her arms. There's no reason for that. There is no reason that people have to hide so far away when they're homeless that they couldn't even make it into a hospital, that their baby would die on the way.
That's it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides for Thursday. Join us again 11 o'clock on Sunday for the next edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Of course, come in as well for Huff at our meeting at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning at 706 Frederick Street. And keep your eyes open and your voices loud.
Then hands out lots of citations to people who ask for a dime. You cannot sit on the sidewalk. You cannot lean on the wall. You cannot stand in. But they don't know.
Of dynamite in either hand.
The world is strangled by capital. I see
the sound of Baffert Spears Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor, here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And that's 2.5 hours of looming ahead of us. We're planning a review of Santa Barbara, and we're going to listen to the debate on the sleeping band down in Santa Barbara to give us a preview of what we're facing here in Santa Cruz in January and February as City Council turns to that topic. We're going to be hearing some strong speakers at City Council, selections from the last few months of oral communication. We're going to be hearing Rotten Rotkin, or Rylak Rotkin as we call him, the council member who has set himself against any changes of any sort in the law that makes it criminal for people to sleep. We'll hear from him in terms of his City Council speeches. Hopefully we'll be hearing a long-delayed tape from the police violence seminar down in Monterey where Bear Lincoln speaks. And again, this is more a wish than a promise. I often go through these tapes and we don't get there, but maybe John Vance from Berkeley will be tuning in. Maybe some reports from the Vets Hall and more here on Baffert Spears Broadside. Stay with us. With us and call in at 427-3772 here on Bathrop Spears Broadsides. What you have to say is just as important as what I have to say, possibly more so, because I have this spot regularly and can go on and on But you have to take the initiative. Call in to 427-3772. Tell me what's going on out there on the streets. What's going on? Are you being harassed by the police? Are you facing problems? What are your thoughts about this sleeping ban delay? They're keeping a sleeping ban on throughout the winter, a blanket ban throughout the winter, with no possibility of a repeal until early February is what the political insiders are telling us. Is this right? Should people be in a position where they can't cover up with blankets or sleep through the winter while the city council elders try to persuade business members and residents that something should be done to restore human rights for the poor? Well, you all know my view on this, but what's your view? Call 427-3772 and let me hear from you. Let me hear what you think. Free radio needs your input. And free radio, by the way, is, I've been telling you for the last two or three shows that we're on the edge of an FCC raid. Well, we have reached the edge, and we're actually beyond the edge, because we've actually got a letter from the FCC, which I thought I took out to the studio with me, but apparently I didn't. But I will get a copy of it, and I will, actually I do have a copy of at least part of it. And before we get into our first guests who are with us live in the studio, and I'm promising you some fine speakers, we have Lighthouse Linda LeMaster of Housing Now in Santa Cruz, and of course the vicious tough love Laura Tucker, casualty of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, who is now in housing with her small boy, and still maintaining a thumb in the pie of homeless activism, so to speak, giving a real kick in the butt to those of us who think we know what we're doing. She has the experience, the hands-on, or should we say vans-on experience of living in her vehicle. But before we get into that and our guests, I'm going to read you this letter from the Federal Communications Commission, because this letter, dated December 17, 1998, and addressed to Becky Ann Johnson and Robert Norris Kahn, that's me, by the way. I'm a Robert Norris, but I'm also known by my family name as Robert Norris Kahn. It's a notice of unlicensed radio operation. And it states, well, the nub of all this is, you are hereby warned that operation of a radio transmitting equipment without a valid radio station authorization constitutes a violation of the federal laws cited above and could subject the owner of this illegal operation to the severe penalties provided, including but not limited to a maximum criminal fine of $100,000 and or 1 year imprisonment or arrest of the equipment. I can see they're going to draw the guns on the transmitter here for the first offense. That's 40C U.S. Code 501, 503, and 510. And the rest of the letter talks about that they received information that we're operating an unlicensed radio station at Santa Cruz, and subsequently agents of the FCC investigated these allegations and located a radio station operating on 96.3 megahertz at 706. Well, we won't go into the address here for air, but they have an address. So radio stations must be licensed by the FCC and so forth. They talk about that. And they say you have 10 days from this date to respond with proof of your license or authority to operate. Your response should be sent to the address on the letterhead. Under the Privacy Act, we are informing you that the Commission's staff will use all relevant material information before it to determine what, if any, enforcement action is required to ensure your compliance with FCC rules. This will include any information you disclose in your reply, plus, I suppose, the phone records that they subpoenaed last week, actually 2 weeks ago, and actually got the phone company was compliant enough and complicit enough to give up the phone records before we had any chance to make any kind of legal objection. So my phone records, not just of the studio's phone line at 427-3772, all you listeners and supporters of constitutional but apparently illegal Free Radio Santa Cruz, according to the FCC, should give a call and let us know. Do you want us to continue broadcasting? Are you prepared to ring the station with your bodies and support us? Should we all sort of troop into the night and head off for the hills and spring up somewhere else? What kind of strategies should we pursue? Let us know, because we're out here not just for ourselves. We certainly like to hear ourselves talk, but we're also here to do community service, because we think that this kind of a station really is needed. And that's partially where it's at. We'd like you to give us a call at 427-3772. Lines are open, and even and the ringer is even on, which is rare in my show. I usually blank the ringer down to zero and try to look at a little blinking light and usually don't see it, or occasionally don't see it when you guys call in. So come on, women and men, give us a call. We want to hear from all you outraged listeners telling us to keep on going, stop going, go somewhere else. Are you going to be there at our trial when they try to put us in jail for a year? Are you going to be out there? Are you going to be doing something else, maybe listening to KSCO? What's the plan? I mean, let's get some notions. Let's see what you think should be done. Give a call to 427-3772, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Now, that having been said, and I'm going to continue to bring up the subject throughout the hour, the federal communications attack on not just this little station here, but essentially on every little station and every community which wants to set up a little station for folks who don't have $100,000 for a 100-watt transmitter, which is apparently the minimum broadcast strength that they, in their arbitrariness, have decided is the lower limit. You know, if you're too small, you just don't count, and not only don't you count, we're not going to let you talk. It's as though they said everybody under 6 feet is not allowed to speak on the streets. Now, wouldn't that be a really kind of new approach? It would certainly quiet things down a lot, and it would give some more weight to those folks with bigger mouths and taller statures and more height and maybe elevator shoes, or actually more relevant, let's suppose only people who had $100,000 in their pocket could speak, because that's in fact what Free Radio, the FCC, mainly pushed by groups like the National Association of Broadcasters, is doing. They're saying, if you're rich, you can talk. If you're not, we're putting you in jail for doing so. And this is a real threat. This letter is dated December 17th. This means on December 27th, they will close down the station. Unless they, of course, for some reason choose to jump the gun. Or perhaps they're bluffing. Are you bluffing, FCC? Are you trying to intimidate us? Trying to squeeze us out of here? Trying to have us tuck our tail between our legs and run? I don't know what you're trying to do, but what I want to know is what the community thinks of all this. And again, the line to call here at 96.3 FM is 427-3772. Well, we have in our studio two women who occasionally, I would imagine, listen to free radio, Linda LeMaster. Linda, what do you think of this FCC attack on the station?
Well, it wasn't a surprise. It seemed that people, even not related to the radio who live in this neighborhood, had been harassed by them in person. So I wasn't surprised that a letter came. It seems to me like the same problem that we had years ago about feeding free food to people in this counties, what is it, I forget what her title is.
The County Health and Safety Code was used by Mayor Marty Wormhout and Jim Lang of the Parks and Rec acting as acting city manager. This was actually 10 years ago in this very month, in December of 1988, after Jane Immler had organized a fast at the town clock against homeless violence and in favor of fighting the laws that make it illegal to sleep. She wasn't fasting. She was serving soup. She fasted 3 years before that. And in order to stop this travesty, Mayor Marty Wormhout, something for which she's never apologized, by the way, decided to crack down on homeless people and homeless activists at the town clock and sent in the riot squad on January 3rd, I believe it was, 1989.
I remember that, Robert, but that's not what I was referring to.
Oops, sorry.
I was talking about when myself and Jane Immler and ultimately Linda Edwards were papered for having something to do with the Food Not Bombs group when it first settled and was
getting... talking about 1993, actually. That was when Food Not Bombs formed out of the Santa Cruz Union of the Homeless, and they got... actually, Ray Glock-Gruneich also got papered for that, but that's another story.
The story is that Linda Edwards was the only person who had the guts to stand up to that bureaucratic assault. And ultimately, because of that, she's the one that they tried in their state-mandated bureaucracy to prosecute. And she's the only one who had the guts to go in there and tell them they're full of shit. She did have some supporters, but not a single person from the Food Not Bombs group that she was basically used as cover for went in there with her as support.
I believe I went in there with her as support, and I was a member of that group.
You were not active at Food Not Bombs at that time, perhaps later, Robert. I remember.
Well, we all have our little factional disputes, but yeah, I think that was an interesting thing, and it was through her courageous stand, as well as Food Not Bombs eventually, I think, got it together and was standing up as well. Are we losing one of our...
Well, actually, I just came out here to deliver a message, and Becky's watching the baby, so I just thought I'd stop.
Well, now we know that you can perhaps you could give her the yes. well, thank you for the message.
Do you have a quick question, or...?
Well, Laura Tucker, what do you think of this closing of the station, and also any comments about the sleeping ban, because I know you're a woman who has suffered under the sleeping ban. You've had to sleep in your vehicle and worry about it being confiscated and so forth.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think we should be patient with the city council, give them a couple of months to work on it?
Well, you know, I don't understand. At the last city council meeting, Keith Sugar was trying to pull off some kind of an emergency maneuver where we could at least get a moratorium until, because they're going through all this bureaucratic stuff of talking to both sides and trying to appear fair instead of just
doing the right thing.
Well, instead of doing the right thing, which is you know, recognizing that people's civil rights are being violated. So I didn't understand, and I don't think Keith Sugar understands either, how he could... What I understood from Catherine Byers and from the city attorney that night was that they needed to call an emergency session, and then that they needed 5 votes, and so they decided not to... I mean, can you clear that up a little bit?
Sure. Actually, Keith Sugar didn't even attempt to put any kind of legislation on the table. He simply proposed a sort of a guiding resolution for the police department that suggested that the police not ticket or even harass homeless people at all unless there was a health and safety complaint.
Okay, how is it that was not able to happen?
The city attorney said, and I believe... could have been after Rodkin spoke about this, but the city attorney said, well, that would be confusing for the police because the police have to enforce the law, and you'd have to change the law, is what Barisoni said, which actually was something different than he told me, which is he said they would prefer that the law be changed, but that, you know, the police do have discretion,
sure.
and the city council can give discretionary. But I think, you know, Barisoni is a strange bird in many ways. He, I like him personally as an individual, and you know, I've kind of been friendly with him, but I think that he tends to come down, it looks like, on the conservative side. I think he still has this sort of backward-looking mentality to the previous council, which, of course, was a dominated council. And Rodkin, of course, was the prime person who was trying to throw a monkey wrench into these proceedings at that December 8th meeting.
Right. Well, I guess the question in my mind is, are they doing everything that they can be doing? You know, are their hands tied, or are they actually, you know, just... blowing it? And
well, of course, here's Linda's answer to that.
Well, I think that the city, the people on the city council and other people that run the city know full well that people are going to die because they don't have the stomach or the guts to call an emergency meeting. I think personally the reason they don't have the guts to do it is because it will ruffle the feathers of an establishment of merchants and other self-appointed elite that they might be sticking up for that part of the population that seems the poorest. That's the only reason they haven't called an emergency meeting, and they're perfectly capable of doing it logistically and in parliamentary terms and in diplomatic terms. They don't have the will to do it.
Okay, I agree with you, but if they were to call an emergency meeting, is it true that they need 5 votes in order to do anything?
Actually, see, this was the problem, and it is true that if you try to pass urgency legislation, it's not even call an emergency meeting, but pass urgency legislation, it requires 5 votes. If you, however, as was also explained at that meeting, if you don't get the 5 votes, you can still pass it by 4 votes as ordinary legislation. It just doesn't go into effect for a month, and requires a second reading along the way. But you see, the important thing is not an urgency session. The important thing is to have a special session called, so you don't have to wait until January 12th, when the next, I guess January 5th is a city council meeting that's going to be held for the purpose of looking at commission members. There are a whole bunch of new appointments for commissions, but January 12th is their plan for first regular business. And the answer to your question about whether something could be done is... something could have been, Kate Wells, and you're going to hear this, I'm going to play this tape for you in a moment, asked as early as November 10th, when Sean Alimi had died, and she came before the city council, said Sean was a man who worked for feeding people, and who spent a month in jail for sleeping outside City Hall, and was the co-founder of the City Hall Sleepers protest, put this on the agenda on the 24th, yeah, so that it can be passed on the 8th, as right, at the second reading. Right. And that person who could have done that was Catherine Byers, right, and Catherine Byers refused to do that. And that is why she is the subject of a very critical flyer that I've written about her, because I feel that she is betraying not only the basic consciences of the community, the basic rights of the homeless, the electorate that has come up with, you know, what it feels should be the New Deal going on at City Council, but she's also not really being terribly honest or helpful in facilitating council members who've decided they want to do something, like Keith Sugar. Now, Keith Sugar, to be said, was not interested in changing the sleeping ban, per se, at that hearing. He was forced into that position when Rotkin and Barisoni said, we won't accept any, you know, any compliance changes, any standards for compliance, other than the very weak standard that was proposed by Catherine Byers, which was the one eventually passed. That weak standard talks about ticketing wherever practicable or reasonable on the basis of complaints, and
they already do that.
And they claim,
exactly.
Sure, they claim, and that's another thing that's not being addressed.
Police Chief Belcher says, and John Barisoni a year ago in court, mind you, said that's their policy anyway. And of course, if that's their policy anyway,
and how are they behaving? Is anybody talking about the police and their behavior? I mean,
I'll talk about the police. They have for years claimed, the administrators, the police chief have claimed, that they only ticket on complaint. But they ticket whoever they want. They harass whoever they want.
Right.
I've seen these policemen come to my house in a neighborhood, this isn't the mall, at 2:30 in the afternoon to see if people were sleeping in their van.
And they're imposing their own beliefs and morals depending on what your vehicle looks like. Whether, like, I know myself, when I was single and staying, you know, then they'd leave me alone. But as soon as I had a male, you know, that I was hanging out with, then I was, there's a knock on the door. As soon as there's a man in the van, they would knock on the door.
To protect your chastity.
I think so. I think they were.
They were jealous. Let's give them a little rope here. Give them until February. Let's talk about it for a while.
See, my view is that there is no administration going on. The police are allowed and perhaps encouraged to do whatever they want. And one of the things they want to do is kick the people that seem to be beneath them. It makes them feel good. It's a macho thing.
Right.
And I think half the police force is behaving that way. This is based on my own observations.
Yeah.
You know, and they single out certain neighborhoods, plus